with the body of Christ on how to be an effective witness. And tonight we're going to talk about how to be an effective witness in the marketplace. I'm actually going to conclude, this series tonight, because on Sunday morning I'm going to begin to pick up part two of our integrity series, Achieving Excellence in Integrity in Relationships, and I'm going to be dealing exclusively with husbands and wives, singles, and so on and so forth. And it's just so much meat that the Lord has shared with me, I'm going to have to break that down into two lessons. And so I'll start that Sunday morning, and I'll finish that next Wednesday evening, which will actually be in line because I wanted to share with the body about how to be an effective witness in the church. But you can't be an effective witness in the church unless you're one in the home. Hallelujah. Y'all agree with that with me tonight. And so we'll finish that next week. But tonight I'm going to deal exclusively with how to be an effective witness in the marketplace. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you would turn to Luke chapter 14. And we're going to be reading verse number 15 through 23 in your hearing. Luke chapter 14, verse 15 through 23. Again, we're talking about tonight how to be an effective witness in the marketplace. And I'm going to share four things that will give you the tools to be an effective witness in the marketplace tonight. Luke 14, verse 15 says, "And when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs to go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Amen. So I'm going to share four things with you tonight on how to be an effective witness in the marketplace. Number one is found in verse number 15, where it says, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. The Bible says, And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. So the first thing you have to understand, if you're going to be an effective witness in the marketplace, is you have to change your mentality or your way of thinking. You must realize that God has placed you in the marketplace to be an effective witness for Him. This is the purpose of your job, beloved. Those of you, how many of you work jobs on a regular basis? I'm talking about legal jobs, not illegal things, but stuff that you can claim on a W-2 form. God's purpose when He put you on the job is, number one, to make an income to meet the needs of your family, and number two is to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ to others. So many of us in the body of Christ have become so focused on making money and striving to make ends meet that we forget about our true purpose for being in the marketplace. And this was the mentality of this man that we find in the text tonight. He said, he's sitting at the table with Jesus, and he said, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. See, so many people have the mentality that since they have gotten themselves right with God, then that's all that matters. He had placed the kingdom of heaven in accessibility and had made the kingdom accessible to him, but had forgot about his responsibility to minister to others. And so, beloved, if you're going to be effective in the marketplace, you have to change your way of thinking. You have to change your mentality and recognize that there are souls in the marketplace that are at your disposal. Listen to me closely. God has put you there on your job to minister to them because they need to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ coming out of your mouth so that they can get converted. How many of y'all would agree with me tonight? Now, what is this thing called the marketplace? The marketplace, if you're taking notes, is your place of business, your job, or anywhere that you frequent on a consistent basis outside of your home. God have called all of us to the marketplace, not necessarily for the marketplace, but for the people that make up the marketplace. They're on your job. They're at the dry cleaners that you go to every week. They're at the hairdresser. They're at the barber shop. They're at the shopping mall. Hello. They're at the grocery store. They're at your local auto mechanic. They're in your neighborhood. They're even in the school system, young people. That's the marketplace. That is your area of influence that God has given you to minister to the lives of others. So when you go to your job and you're working there feverishly 8 hours a day, that's not only your purpose. Your other purpose ultimately is to witness the Lord Jesus Christ to others. Now, I'll share some insight on that because I don't want you to take this wrong. Number two is found in verse number 17. The Bible said, "And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready." Number two is recognizing that your local church, I'm talking about this one, NGFWC, is ready to receive the harvest that you are bringing in. Now listen to me closely. I'm going to share some things with you here tonight. Some people are in fact apprehensive about being an effective witness in the marketplace because they're apprehensive about bringing first-time visitors to their local church. I didn't think I'd get many amens on that. Some people sit in churches are apprehensive about being a witness on the job in the marketplace because they are apprehensive about bringing people to their local church. Y'all looking at me kind of funny. Let me go a little further. Can I go a little further? I believe that it's the leadership's responsibility, that's myself, to ensure that first-time visitors that are coming in from the marketplace harvest come into an environment that is non-threatening and user-friendly. So it's my responsibility as the senior pastor of this church and my staff to make sure that when visitors come in, y'all bring them in from the marketplace, you're witnessing to them on your jobs, in your homes, in your neighborhoods, that the environment they come into is non-threatening and user-friendly. In other words, it's an atmosphere where they want to be. It's a place where they would want to come on a Sunday and on a Wednesday on a regular basis. Are you all right tonight? Let me go a little further. This does not mean that the church is an environment where anything goes and sin reigns supreme. I got to be clear about that because some churches are user friendly. But at the same token, they have a lot of sin and they got a lot of issues going on where people come there and frequent it because the pastor doesn't deal with their issues. I'm a pastor that preaches the truth, but I preach the truth in love. Am I doing all right? Now, it should not be an environment where you have to brief the person or persons that you're bringing to your church before they come. Oh, Lord. This puts people on the defense and they put up walls before they even arrive. If I was to take a poll, trustingly not in this church, but if you came out of another church and you wanted to bring somebody with you and you had to brief them before they came, you know, now pastor may say a couple of things that's strong and hard. Sister Butterbean may look at you cross-eyed. Hello. And see, when you have to do that, when you're bringing in these souls from the marketplace, it puts up a defense. Because they're already apprehensive about coming in because they're not sure the environment that they're walking into. So if you're in an environment as such, it may be a sign that you're in the wrong place because you feel apprehensive about inviting people to your local church, that you are in fact not comfortable with what's going on, what you're involved in, and what you're a part of. Now, again, I believe that it's the leader's responsibility to ensure that the church is a place where people are welcomed. I strive hard as a pastor to do that. I strive hard to make sure that everybody feels loved in this church. Thank you for agreeing with me. I strive hard to make sure that you feel a part of what God is doing in that local body and have the opportunity to be used of God in the capacity in which He's called you. You see, most people that come to churches, they want to be in a place where they feel free, they feel loved, and that they can be in an environment where their gifts can be used that God gave them. Hello, am I doing all right? That's why people come to churches. They want to feel loved. They want to feel a part of something. And then they want to be in an environment where they can be used. God gave them these gifts. He gave them gifts to sing. He gave them gifts to praise dance. Gave them gifts to do all sorts of different things, work the equipment. And so you got to make sure that the environment is user friendly for that. And I strive hard as a pastor to do that. Now, very few people want to be in a place where legalism runs supreme. Where you're in bondage or an environment where you're manipulated, hello, and the spirit of control runs rampant. How many of y'all like being a part of churches like that? I've been in some places where there was manipulation, there was control, there was, you know, it's either my way or the highway. I've been in churches like that. I've been a part of places like that, and they don't grow. Because people don't like being in those type of environments. Those of you that are married and have spouses, I'll talk about this more on Sunday, but you don't like it when your husband rules with an iron fist. Amen. Hello. Because y'all start locking up on the brother. See, I knew I wasn't going to get very many amen. But if it's an environment where it's user-friendly and the wife feels comfortable, she doesn't feel threatened, she feels like she's a part of the family, hello, then you're not too quick to lock up on a brother. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, Lord. Okay, let me back up and say that for Sunday morning. Amen. In other words, if you're not in the clique, you won't be free to be used of God in an atmosphere that's conducive to your spiritual growth. See, the unique thing about Next Generation is that you can come into an atmosphere that's conducive to your spiritual growth. Hallelujah. I will let you grow. I will let you be used of God, but it's in an atmosphere that's conducive to your spiritual growth. You just don't come in here and run rampant and do what you want to do, but you are free to operate in what God have called you to do under the vision and under the leadership of my wife and I, the staff and the Holy Spirit and so on and so forth. Am I doing all right? All right. So number three. Verse 18 through 20, let's look at the Bible. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs to go and see it. I pray that you have me excused. The other said, I brought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray that you have me excused. And the other said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So number three, beloved, is you have to learn how to eliminate excuses. If you're going to be an effective witness in the marketplace and you begin to invite others to your church, you have to learn how to overcome excuses. People will give you all types of reasons why they don't want to come to church. This is why you often have to be prepared to respond to their excuses before they give you one. Now, I'm going to give you the 5 most common excuses that people will give you when they come to church. Amen. I guarantee you that as you begin, God begins to raise you up, put the spirit of boldness in you. You begin to be an effective witness in your marketplace. You begin to witness to people on your job. You'll hear 5 common excuses. Y'all ready for them? Number one is, and these are not in any particular order, nothing to wear. Y'all have heard that one, obviously. People want to come, but they give you an excuse just like the people did in these texts. Well, I want to come to church, but I don't have nothing to wear. Excuse. I'm going to teach you how to deal with that. Number two is transportation. Well, I want to come, but I don't have no way to get there. But you get to work every morning. But see, you see how people's mentality is when it comes to the things of the kingdom. They don't value the importance of being in church and being in a place where they can grow and they can hear the word of God. Sunday is my rest day. I've been hurt in the church. Or most common, you don't have to go to church to serve God. So how do you eliminate these excuses, beloved, as it relates to Next Generation Family Worship Center? Number one was what? No, number first excuse was what? Nothing to wear. All right. So when you're in the marketplace, beloved, and they say, well, I want to come, but I don't have nothing to wear. Well, Next Generation, you come as you are. Pastor don't care if you wear jeans, if you wear a skirt. If you want to put some boots on and a Timberland jersey, that's fine with me. Because we're not a church that's caught up in what you wear. That I don't want that as an excuse to keep you from coming and hearing the word of the Lord. Only exception to that rule is when we have communion. And communion, there is a dress code, but that's only for certain people in the staff that are serving communion. So if you're not a part of the staff that's that is executing communion, then that don't apply to you. You want to roll up in here on a communion Sunday with jeans and a t-shirt? Fine with me. Fine with the staff. Fine with the members. I know is bad grammar, but I did go to college and graduate. But there's not, that's more appropriate. There's not a member, there's not a staff member that's going to look at you funny. Hello. I was witnessing to a young lady over across the street, and one of the first things she said was, well, do we got to wear a dress? No, you don't have to wear a dress. Sisters, if you want to wear pants, fine with me. You know, now you might want to make sure you dress appropriately. You know, don't come in with no hot leather pants. You know, and think that, you know, people are not going to be staring you up and down because everybody in the church ain't saved. Hello. And the truth of the matter of that is when you're married, your husband is the one that gives the approval as to what you put on. I'll talk more about that on Sunday morning. If your husband is in agreement with what you have on, you're married now. Married in a relationship where you have a license. Hello. Not shacking up. Not with the man that's your boyfriend or a woman that's your girlfriend or your fiance. I'm talking about married. You got something on the wall. You stood before a preacher, justice of the peace. Am I making it plain? Then your husband is the one that will look you over, per se, before you go to church and determine what you have on, if it's appropriate. Amen. Am I teaching all right? Yes, sir. And so your husband will say, well, baby, you know, that doesn't look appropriate for church, or maybe that's a little bit too revealing. That may be nice for if we're going out to a nice restaurant or the movies, but to go to church in, that's not appropriate. But as long as I'm pastor, I will guarantee that when you come in here, you won't get looked at funny with what you have on. Hallelujah. Because whether you got on a tailor-made suit or holy jeans, we're going to love you and treat you the same. Amen. Number two was transportation. Offer to pick them up or contact the administrative service center. We'll do our best to get them here. Now, we don't have a van ministry yet. I say we don't have a van ministry yet. But when we do have a van ministry, if people need a ride, they can call the administrative service center. We'll send somebody out to pick them up. Number three, Sunday is my rest day. This may be true, but we are a time-conscious church. You're normally out of service by 1 o'clock on Sunday. Am I right about that? I do my best to have y'all out of here by, unless there's a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit, you're normally out of church by 1. Now, you know, when I conclude, you know, we're a loving church. People stay around and love and talk and all that stuff, but that's on y'all. But normally we have you out by 1 so that you can enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Amen. The other thing is that this is why as we grow, we'll have multiple services. Because I believe in meeting the needs of people. That's part of our mission statement. Meeting needs, impacting lives, empowering the next generation. And so we will have services exclusively, early morning service, mid-morning service, afternoon service. We'll even have a Saturday service if we need to. Because that's what we do. We meet needs of people. Everybody can't come to church on Sunday. Some people work. But they still want to come. So if they want to come, we'll create a service for them to go to. Won't be on Saturday, it'll be on a Sunday. Or won't be on a Sunday, it'll be on a Saturday. Some people may need to be to work by 1 or 2 o'clock, and so getting out of church at 1 causes a conflict, so you can come to early morning service. Hello. See, we believe in eliminating excuses and meeting needs of people. Some pastors don't believe in that. They don't believe in having multiple services to meet needs of people. But the way I see it is you guys are who we serve. Amen. We serve people, and serving people, we have to make sure that we meet your needs. Number 4, I've been hurt in the church. Most people have. Welcome to the club. Amen. Listen to me closely. The church is not a perfect place with perfect people. I heard Bishop Banks say two things. Number 1, because he's in it. And number 2, because you're in it. So that's why the church is not perfect. If you're looking for a perfect church, you're not going to find it. People have issues. People have problems. People have setbacks. So you're not going to find a perfect church. If you are looking for a perfect church, you're just not going to find it. Because everywhere you go, somebody going to rub you the wrong way. Amen. Somebody going to look at you funny. Somebody's going to say something that you don't agree with. Why? Because that's the nature of people. We endeavor to create an environment that's loving and friendly, but that's not an excuse for people not to come. We will do our best. That's why one of our prayer requests is that we don't breed. We're cautious not to breed a competitive spirit, the spirit of pride. We're cautious that we don't do that as pastors so people feel comfortable coming. But that doesn't mean the person sitting next to you has your best interest at hand. That's just the way the nature of people are. So if you're sitting around waiting for a perfect church, you're going to wait till Jesus comes. Number 5, you don't have the church. You don't have to go to church to serve God. This is shockingly true. You come to church to worship God. You serve him when you leave. But the scriptures teach us in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the assembly as you see the day approaching as the manner of some is. The only way you learn how to serve God is to learn of him and his ways. And really the only way you can learn that is in church. Church is like school. If you go to school, but you don't show up for class, and then you roll in there next week, the teacher give you a test, and you fail the test because you didn't get the notes that was put out in class. And church is the same way. God prepares me, gives me messages and things that you guys are dealing with throughout the week. And so when you get tested and tried by the devil, you know what to do because you was in class. Amen. But you roll out there and you miss church and you miss what the word of the Lord was during that day. And you get tested and you fail the test because you wasn't here. So you have to come to church. It is a commandment and it's a requirement by God. Jesus said, come and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. If you don't learn of him, if you don't find out about his ways, where else are you going to do it? You can't do it on the TV. People say, well, I watch Jakes and I watch Bishop Macbeth and I watch John Hagee. That's how I get my church. But that's not the intent of those outreaches. Those are for people that cannot get out. Those are for people to expose what Bishop Jakes is doing and different ones like that. God called everybody to have a local pastor and a local church where you fellowship in on a day-to-day basis. Somebody that's watching over your soul and somebody that's accountable to you. Am I doing all right? Number 4, and we'll be finished. Verse number 21 through 24. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in thither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. So number 4 is you must understand the urgency of compelling. It is urgent. Listen to me closely, church. It's urgent that we compel them to come into the ark of safety because Jesus is soon to come and time is running out. We don't have time to waste. I hope y'all are hearing this tonight. Jesus is coming back soon. Jude said we'll literally snatch some people out of the depths of hell. And so it's an urgency. It's a sense that to get people need to get saved. People need to get in church. They need to get under the ark of safety. And you have to understand that urgency. If you don't understand it, you won't see the need to be an effective witness in the marketplace. I hope y'all are hearing me tonight. There are so many people in the marketplace that are hurting, and the devil is beating them up day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. And the shocking thing about this is that it's known by most of us because they talk about it in your presence on a daily basis. And they talk about it because they don't know how to overcome their problems. And so they come to work and they bleed on you. Am I talking right? People come to work and they tell you about how their husband's treating them. They tell you about how they're in financial straits. They tell you about how there's just hell in their household because they don't know how to solve their problems. God is not the center of their lives because they've tried everything but God. They've tried to fill the void in other ways, like with alcohol, sex, drugs, and people that mean them no good. And we have the audacity to sit and entertain their problems, knowing that we have the answer to all their problems, and His name is Jesus. Amen. We pray to Him every day. We worship Him. We sing praises to Him in church on Sundays and on Wednesdays, but we're afraid to confess Him publicly on the job. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my very Father. Are y'all hearing me tonight? There is an urgency, church. There are too many chairs that are empty in this local church and local churches all around that can be filled with people that are dying to hear the gospel, and they're not filled because we're not doing what we're supposed to do in the marketplace. I didn't think I'd get many amens. It's time for the church, this church in particular, to come out of the closet and take on the spirit of boldness and begin to witness mightily for Jesus in the marketplace. Let me say that again. It's time for the church, this church in particular, to come out the closet, take on the spirit of boldness, and begin to witness mightily for Jesus in the marketplace. There are too many lame, halt, withered, blind, unchurched people that are hurting that we encounter from week to week that need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is ministered in this house freely from week to week. People are waiting, church, and sometimes all they're waiting for is for you to ask them. So I want to close this message with giving you five keys to becoming a successful compeller. Number one, ask them if they are in a good church home. Many people are not. They're looking for a church home, they're in transition, or they're unchurched. I'm telling you, I hope y'all are hearing me tonight. Ask them. Pray for the spirit of boldness. Stop letting the devil fool you and tell you that you're going to say the wrong thing or they're going to laugh at you. The devil is a liar. Open your mouth, church, and ask him, are you in a good church home? The word of the Lord that's coming out of my spirit is good for them. I'm not the only pastor, don't get me wrong. But if they're not sitting in anybody's church, don't send them across town. Send them to a place where they can be blessed and they can get what you're getting on a weekly basis. Hallelujah. Number two, invite them to the next service. Excuse me. Number two, invite them out. You have Generation 8000 cards that has all of the service time and the church info on it. I ask each member to give out a minimum of 8 of those cards a week. I told you that the Holy Spirit would speak to you and show you people to give those cards to. Take those cards and put them in the hands of people that need a good church home. You can even ask business owners if you can leave some on their establishments that you frequent. I frequent Jefferson Cleaners. I've been a customer of his for 5 years. I've taken my dry cleaning, my BDUs when I was in the military, for 5 years. The least he could do is allow us to put some cards there. Some of y'all frequent business places that you go in from week to week, and they got all kind of other secular mess in there. They got the pajama jam, the Freak Nick in Atlanta. They advertise. Y'all not talking to me. Hello. They got all these wild parties that they advertising. Why can't we advertise the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Time for the church to take over. Number three, invite them to the next service. Find out if they have anything going on. Let them know when the service times are, what we're doing, etc. Most of the time, beloved, people will talk to you and they'll be talking to you about the very same thing that the Lord has been ministering on. Say, you need to hear what pastor's talking about. Well, my marriage is so terrible and my husband ain't treat me right. I'm getting ready to do two series on relationships and how you can have a relationship of excellence and integrity that people need to hear. Number four, most important, is follow up. See if you can get their number or follow up contact with them. Call them the day of the service or the night before. If they want you to, give them a wake-up call if needed. Whatever you got to do, follow up with people. Some people say, yeah, I'm coming to church, and I'll be there on Sunday. Will you need me to call you Saturday night and check with you, whatever the case might be? You have to make sure that you're doing everything you can to get people saved and to get people in the kingdom. And number five, express the importance of being in church. Most people don't come because they don't see the importance of it or the excitement and enthusiasm that you have. I use Sister Martha as an example. She has such an exuberant attitude when she talks to people about church and getting saved and getting right in church. And people that are hurting, they receive that and they come. Finally, make sure that you show up. It's tacky if you invite somebody to church and you don't come when they do. I didn't think I'd get many amens on that. When they come, follow up with them. Ask them if they enjoyed the service. Ask them to be honest. Encourage them to be honest about their feelings. I ask visitors all the time, did you enjoy the service? I don't ask you that to pump my head up. I ask you that to make sure that if it was something that you didn't like, something was said or something was done, you can tell us that maybe we can correct it. Does it mean that we will cater to everybody's needs? But if it's something that we're doing that's causing visitors not to stay and come, then we need to know about it. Hallelujah. Finally, know your church. Know the vision. That's why I'm big on that, church. Know the core values and the mission statement. It's what we do. It's what we are. It's who God has called us to be. I cannot do this by myself. I said, I cannot do this by myself. I said, I cannot do this by myself. We are called in this together. Where is your fruit? Who are you influencing for the gospel's sake? I'm going to just run some names. I look at John P. Most of y'all don't know how I met John P. He called my office. And he'll tell you all these things I just ministered. I did every one of them. That's what made him come. This man was going through a lot of different things, and the main ingredient he was missing was God. That's what most people are missing. They're missing a relationship with God in their lives, and they've tried everything. They tried cocaine. They tried alcohol. They tried sex. They tried hanging out with other people that don't mean them no good. They just ain't tried Jesus. And so I stuck on him. I look at the Hunter family. The Hunter family is sitting in here because we went out and we went after them and we ministered to them. I look at the Boykins family. They're sitting in here today because we went out. We were concerned about them. Now, I can't grow this church by myself. My wife and I can't grow this church by ourselves. We need everybody pulling together because God is putting people in your lives that need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the bottom line. You run past 100 of them every day. I got 4 families I'm talking to right now. Y'all hear me? 4 families. I need y'all help. Because I got a vision and I got somewhere that God's taking us and he wants to take you to. And I can't do it by myself. Pastor love to sing, but that's not my true calling. Y'all know that by now. Y'all recognized that last Wednesday. But guess what? Till God release us with more singers, that's what Pastor got to do. We got equipment. God have blessed us with top of the line equipment. It's just not set up tonight. I got drums. We got keyboards. We got state of the art mixing equipment. We got everything you need. All we need is people. I said, all we need is people. Y'all get them here. Trust me, when I say Pastor got plenty for them to do, I mean plenty for them to do till they'll start saying, hey, Pastor, you know, I love it, but, you know, you give me a little bit too much here. And I can understand that. Because one thing about me, when you're a babe in Christ, my desire is to get you saved, but not have you sitting on that pew long. You need to find out why God put you on this earth, what your purpose is, and get involved in ministry. Does it mean you'll be up here preaching the gospel? Does it mean you'll be up here leading the songs? But hey, you can work security. You can work in children's church. You can work in youth ministry. There is something for you to do to put your hands to the plow. And that's what people want. They want to feel a part of a local body. And I make sure as a pastor that I'm doing that. I can't do it by myself, y'all. As long as God give me strength, and as long as God give me power, I will go until my legs fall off. But that's not my desire. The desire of God, according to the book of Acts, that the pastor and the apostles stay before God and pray. That's our sole responsibility, and feed the people the word of God. But we can't do that until we get other people in place. That's why as a pastor, I strive to get things online and get things ready because I'm preparing for a harvest. I'm talking about ordaining people to be deacons. Why are you doing that, Pastor? Because when people start coming to this church, my wife and I can't be the deacons. God's got to raise you up so that you can get your family life together, get your issues together, and be there for somebody else. Hello, I'm talking about starting a tape ministry. I can't finish preaching, put the mic down, run over to LeVar, grab the CD and the tape, run back there, put it in the... I can't do that. God want to raise you up to do that. I can't sing. Y'all know this by now. But I can't sing and go over here and sit down and then get ready to minister because I like to be fresh for y'all. I like to make sure that when I come before you, I don't have no weights. I don't have no issues. I'm not tired. And I can release the word of the Lord as he's given it to me. But I can't do that doing the singing, doing the leading of songs. He's got it. Let him get it. I can't do that. And that's why I want y'all to get focused and get ministry minded. Because God has got a call on your life. We can do this, church. I say we can do this, church. I say we can do this. We can and we will exceed our growth plan. We're 16 weeks away where we want to be at a minimum of 80 members by the third Sunday in August. We can do it. We can do it, all of us together, but we got to work together, we got to be focused, and we got to be unified. Hallelujah. I believe I delivered my soul tonight. Come on and stand to your feet and just give God praise in the house tonight. Let's just bless the Lord tonight for his word, effective witnessing in the marketplace. Hallelujah. Amen. Want you to come back Sunday morning. Want you to bring somebody. Put them in the car. Put them in the trunk. Whatever you got to do, man of God. Get them in the house. Because once they get here, they'll see what God's doing in this house, and they'll want to be a part of it. Hallelujah. Let's get ready to give in the house tonight. If you want to give your tithe, tithe is 10% of your income. You can sow that in this house tonight. If you want to sow a Generation 8,000, 8 representing the tithe of 80 for the 80 members we're believing God for by the third Sunday in August, 16 representing 16 months or less, where God is going to release a minimum of 800 believers in this house. That is the tithe of the 8,000 that we're believing God for, that this church will eventually grow to. You can do that tonight if you want to sow, be a blessing to our radio broadcast. We ask a minimum of 5 people to sow a $100 seed by the 15th of May. You can do that. Amen. If you want to sow towards the audio equipment, help us with the expenses, you can do that as well. Amen. All right, we're going to get ready to give. We got some good giving music. Just come around. Those of you on my left, if you would come out of that, come out, face the wall and come out that direction. Those on my right, if you would come around and plant your seed in faith and love, watch God give the increase. These seeds back into the lives of your people 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And as you bless us, pressed down, shaken together, running over as men given to our bosom, we thank you for it tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Consider yourselves dismissed. May the angels of the Lord go with you and bring you back safely at the appointed time. Find somebody you didn't come to church with. Greet these first-time visitors. Let them know that we love them. We honor them in Jesus' name. Have a good night.